I want to call your attention in our call to worship this morning to a passage in Micah chapter 5, and the verse that you're very familiar with, verse 2, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting." I want to kind of give you the context of that, because we find here in chapter 4 at the end of the verse of Scripture, Israel is told that it will be surrounded by the nations of the earth, and it will seem that they will be destroyed. It says in verse 11 of chapter 4, "Now also many nations are gathered against thee, that say, Let her be defiled, and let our eye look upon Zion. But they know not the thoughts of the Lord, neither understand they his counsel, for he shall gather them as the sheaves into the floor." Here is the picture here of the mighty nations of the earth gathered around Israel. They look at her and say, look how small, look how insignificant she is. We can overwhelm her, we can destroy her, we can take her down. Right? That's the picture. And they say to themselves, this is going to be easy. Then verse 2 of chapter 5, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be the ruler in Israel." Now here's a contrast in quantity. A contrast in quantity that's given to us. Israel is small in the world. It's going to be surrounded by the nations of the world at the Battle of Armageddon. It seems like Israel is toast. It will be destroyed. Yet Jesus Christ, the Bible says, shall come alone, and he will destroy the armies of the earth. His horse will ride through, the blood will rise to the bridle of the horse as he goes in to destroy, and he will do this alone in his own power. And where did he come out of? Bethlehem, the least likely place on the earth. Now understand, please, the child was born in Bethlehem, but the Son existed in all eternity. Please don't confuse the two. All right? Jesus Christ is God eternally. He is from everlasting to everlasting. He has no beginning and he has no end. But when he took upon himself the form of a servant, he was incarnated, enfleshed, he became the Son of Man. And it is the Son of Man, the Son of God, who will come out of heaven to destroy the enemies of Israel. And he does so to the surprise of all the nations of the world. They think they've got this down. Finally, they're going to be rid of the nation that's always been a burr in their saddle. The nation that's always been a problem to them. The one that they've blamed for all of the problems in the world. Isn't that interesting how Israel right now is being blamed for all the problems in the world? One of the interesting facts that came out of WikiLeaks, this thing, which I think is a terrible thing that's happened, but we have learned a few things about the talk that among the diplomats, at least, they've realized that in their conversations with the Arab world, they see Iran as the problem, not necessarily Israel. That's kind of interesting, because all the nations of the world are blaming Israel for all of their problems. Where are the missiles pointed to? Israel. Why do the Iranians want to take them out? Why do the Iraqis want to take them out? Why do all the Arabian nations of the world? Because they see Israel as a problem. They don't like Israel's God. And so we find here that the answer to all the questions of world history are solved in one individual who came from the least likely place, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little. Now, what does that tell us? What does that tell us? God, you and God, as Dr. Bob Jones Sr. used to say, make a majority in any community. You may think, how can we do this? We don't have the numbers, or we don't have the volume, or we don't have the quantity. Let me tell you something. It's not the amount that matters. It's who that matters. And that is Jesus Christ. And at this Christmas season, as we seek to bring our attention to Him, let us remember that the Lord Jesus Christ came out of nowhere, so to speak. Came from the least likely of all towns. Why couldn't he have been born in Jerusalem? Why couldn't he have been born in some well-known town? Because God wants us to know that it's that which is insignificant that matters. God sent his Son, born of a virgin, born in a stable. The Christ child placed into a little box that was used to feed the animals. Everything seems so insignificant, yet he is the Savior of the world. And at this Christmas time, folks, we may be insignificant in the world's eyes, but we have the greatest message in all the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Is that message on your lips today? Is that message in your heart? Because, folks, that's the message of Christmas. It's the message that we have to communicate throughout the year to a lost and dying world, that God loved us and he sent his only begotten Son. He may not have done it like we would have done it. Well, we would never have done it the way God did it. That's why it says in chapter 4 of Micah that they know not God's ways. They know not God's thoughts. That's the world. We wouldn't do it that way. But God did it the way in which would bring the greatest glory unto himself. At this Christmas time, please, please understand your purpose. Your purpose is to be a shining and bright light here in Milton, wherever you go, to communicate the message of the gospel, which is the good news, Jesus Christ in flesh, the Son of Man, yes, the Son of God, but the Son of Man made like we are, tempted in all points as we are, yet what? Without sin. That's our blessed hope. Through him I have salvation in Jesus Christ. And that's the message of Christmas. And you and I need to have that in our hearts and on our lips at this Christmas time.